This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and today is day five. That's right, game five between the Heat and the Bucks. Game five, going to be the finishing five for the Heat. I'm just kind of making a bold prediction, although it's not all that bold. Nonetheless, we're going to get into that in just a little while. Also, going to hear from the Joe Rose Show. They are talking to my man, Manny Diaz. We are less than 5 days away from the kickoff to the football season for the Canes. In fact, it's just Thursday, so Manny Diaz is going to be talking about that fun and gun offense. Also, the Dan Le Batard Show. Speaking of fun, talking to Zoo Miami's Ron McGill. That's always informative and interesting. Then Hawk and Crowder, game five. Let's get into the headlines. Game five of the Heat and Bucks is tonight at 6:30. Giannis Antetokounmpo is questionable with a bad ankle. Miami leads the series 3-1. Dolphins receiver Devontae Parker has returned to practice. No word on if he'll play Sunday against the Patriots. The Marlins down the Braves 5-4 in the 10th yesterday. The two play again tonight at 7:05 with Juventus Gonzalo Higuain nearing a deal with Inter Miami. The team prepares to play Atlanta United tomorrow night at 8. NBA staff will now be allowed to have family members in the bubble. Previously, only players were permitted to have family at the hotels. The Canes have named Nakosi Perry the team's number two quarterback behind Derek King. Miami opens at home Thursday at 8 against UAB. The Saints and Alvin Kamara are reportedly near securing a lucrative extension. The running back is entering the final year of his rookie deal. Tonight, in the NHL playoffs, it's game one of Las Vegas versus Dallas at 8. And now let's go ahead and take a step into the day spa. Police in Kentucky recently pulled over a car after noticing it was driving with a drawn-on license plate. Man, this learning at home stuff is getting out of hand. A French tourist was fined $1,200 for attempting to steal 4 pounds of sand from an Italian beach. Did they realize it was sand and not cocaine? A tourist in Scotland has reported the 7th Loch Ness Monster sighting this year. Whew! 2020 just keeps getting more weird. A museum in Sweden is featuring a beer made from whale testicles and wine fermented from a prison toilet. One word. Yum! Now on to weather. Tonight's forecast, rainy with temperatures around 80. Everyone excited here in South Florida. Not only do you have game five of the Heat, not only are the Dolphins kicking off Sunday, but even closer than that, Thursday. It is the U versus UAB Hard Rock Stadium. 13,000 fans in attendance. It is going to be rocking. So the Joe Rose Show got with the coach of the U, Manny Diaz. This is probably the last second he is going to have to do an interview until that kickoff. What were they talking about? How he feels going into the season. Talks a little bit about De'Aaron King and Nikosi Perry making the plays. Let the fast guys run fast, and it's fun to watch that offense.
Coach, good morning, and I'm happy to say this. Welcome to game week. Finally game week in a couple days here. Thank you for a couple minutes this morning.
I was just going to say, I can't help but think back to, you know, maybe it was April, something like that, when we were talking on the phone then, and just to hear the sports update, I mean, how cool. You got the Heat playing tonight. You got Marlins. Talk about the Dolphins opener on Sunday, the Canes. In 2 days, you know, I remember being on back in the spring and there was no sports update. You go to the traffic person, they'd be like, hey, there's no one on the roads. We're all in our house. You know, I mean, what a turnaround. It's great to have game week.
Absolutely right. Amen. And I'll tell you what else was good to hear you after the third scrimmage. Pretty excited about the way your guys looked at Hard Rock State. What'd you see overall, Coach? It seemed to have you pretty positive after.
That mock game that we do, it's scripted for success. I mean, it's a game that everyone's supposed to leave feeling good about themselves. But what you're really checking on that evening is, you know, are we good on our substitutions? Are we good on our special teams? If we have to go from offense to punt or defense to punt block, I mean, nothing that's going to make us procedurally take a timeout. Are we running the offense and defense, you know, smoothly in terms of getting our subs in and out and signaling and all those type of things? So all of that I thought was really good. And then we do sort of simulate playing our first opponent. So, you know, running some of our game plan stuff against the opponent and giving our guys that first chance. You know, it's just different when you're in the stadium, you know. And so that was really our first opportunity in this calendar year to get in the stadium and operate in there and shoot some guys. De'Aaron had only been in the stadium when he came on his official visit right before the Super Bowl. We kind of snuck him in and had him take a look around at the place. That's the only time he'd ever been in Hard Rock Stadium. So just to get the cleats on the grass was a good feeling.
Coach, De'Aaron King, since what's impressed you most about him from day one till where he is right now as your starting quarterback?
I just love the way that he interacts with the players on this team. I mean, there's the ball stuff and what he can do playing quarterback. But it's just so funny that after last night's practice, I always see him after practice hanging out with three or four different guys, and I don't know what they're talking about, but they're just doing something. And it's always a different group of guys. Last night it was three offensive linemen. Then the day before that, maybe three defensive players. He's just a quarterback that seems to draw people towards him. He's got great leadership ability, but it's not overt, rah-rah, you know, Hollywood speech. It just seems like somebody that really brings our team together.
Coach, speaking of quarterbacks, I know you named Nikosi Perry the backup quarterback there. What has he shown you since, you know, De'Aaron has come on campus mentally and physically? You know, just what has he shown you in your eyes to make him feel like the second quarterback and your backup?
I'm really proud of Nikosi. I mean, he's, you know, obviously he's been through a lot and he's had some super high highs in his program here, you know, beating Florida State and also some not some great moments. But this year, I think his maturity level has gone to a different level. You know, he's really handled his business, you know, on the field and off the field. And again, I think he's benefiting from a little bit of what we're doing. And we've seen, I mean, Nikosi can make plays in a game. We've got confidence in Nikosi if he was our quarterback. So he's just continued to work to get better. He loves the University of Miami. He loves being a Miami Hurricane. I would say there's probably not a lot of people in the country who have got a number two quarterback who's done some of the things that our guy has.
So I saw the depth chart, Coach, last night, just looking at it, the one surprise on the offensive line, I just didn't know a lot about him. Talk about Usman Traor, who's going to be your left guard. Just a guy that people, I wasn't real familiar with out of junior college. Did he just come on strong? How did he earn that position?
Yeah, Usman is a unique situation. You know, he got a little bit of action for us a year ago, and then there was a strange kind of eligibility case that sort of forced him on the shelf for the end of 2019. And he's a guy that would have played a role for us, certainly down the stretch last year, especially some of the injuries we had in the final few ball games. So really, probably would have not have been such a surprise this year if he could have played the way we suspected he would have been able to play a year ago. So to that point, you know, as a guy that when we came back and you get, you know, new eyes and you know, some new coaches and whatever and move guys around into different positions, you know, Usman's a guy that just has really continued to come on, improve, get better. He's got great toughness and just goes about doing his job. And so, you know, I think Darren Justice has done a really nice job of trying to move our guys around and find out what the best combination was. It just feels like for the last week or so, you know, that Usman really solidified that left guard spot.
I'll say one thing. This group, compared to where you were a year ago, the experience on the offensive line, which I know we spend way too much time over the last, I feel, 5 or 6 years talking about the offensive line. You got to feel a lot better about this group, especially adding a guy like Williams at right tackle and knowing the experience he comes in with.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, coming back for another year and some of the seasoning that we'll have, but yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, starting, you know, two true freshmen for the majority of the year, that's not something that generally goes well. And those guys battled. I mean, they fought, and they'll all be better for it. But the experience will definitely, you know, pay off.
Coach, will stay in the offensive side of the ball, running back spot. I know Cam Harris starting on your depth chart. Chaney Jr. and Knighton as your backups. Pretty deep at that position. You're happy with that position right now?
Yeah, I would say so. We are. Cam has provided great leadership, and he's in the best shape of his life. And I think he's someone that everybody in the program is really rooting for to have a big year. And then with Knighton and Chaney, you know, of course, anytime you've got young guys who you know you've got such potential and there's a lot of hype around them, and they just need to get in the game and just get the flow of the game. And I think as they get more and more comfortable, I think their roles will continue to grow, because they can definitely do some damage when they're in there. You know, it's just they got to get their first college hits and go out there and then, you know, get acclimated to the speed of the game, because they will definitely be factors for us in this year.
Coach, just a follow up on Knighton and Chaney, two of the best backs to come out in Dade and Broward last year. Knighton more maybe you see him as a pass receiving running back role on this team compared to maybe Chaney, or are you not ready to do that yet?
I think it'd be unfair to say that one guy can and one guy can't. You know, I think both those guys can do some things. I mean, obviously, when you talk about pass catching, you're talking about pass catching situations. Really, the first thing you're talking about then is blitz pickup. You know, and being sound on who you've got to pick up on blitz, and then can you do it? I don't see any vast discrepancies of one guy certainly can and one guy certainly can't. And then, like I said, they've got a great older guy to learn from, in a guy like Cam Harris, who, you know, Cam's seen some really good backs before him here, whether it's Travis Homer and DJ Dallas, and has seen, you know, Cam's made great development since he's been here at Dave Feely, and his strength staff have done an amazing job with Cam's physical development. And so, I think we've got great depth there, which we will definitely need in 2020.
Coach, do you see this group of wide receivers, the ball being spread out, or do you see one or two guys kind of taking over a number one and two role when we're all said and done with stats and targets and all that stuff?
If I had to guess, and I think if Rhett Lashley could have his way, I think you would see a pretty even ball distribution. I mean, if you just look at the receivers we have, and with, whether it's the first three with Pope, Wiggins, and Harley, but then when you also have to throw in the tight ends, I mean, you know, everyone talked about Brevin Jordan, but I think Will Mallory is set to really do some things this year, and so you got five guys right there that are definitely weapons catching the ball. But look, if you're going to play at an increased tempo, increase the amount of plays you're going to play in the game, you're going to also increase the amount of people that are going to play in the game. And, you know, Jeremiah Payton has had a nice camp and did some good things last Friday night at the stadium. And then we really like the young wide receivers we have too, who just, you know, will need some time to come along. So yeah, I mean, I think this should be an offense that, you know, by its design, you know, it spreads the field out, and where the defense is and where they aren't is going to matter to where the ball goes.
Coach, how much of a jump in your eyes did Mark Pope make? I know that he's listed as a punt returner and kick returner also. He's a hell of a playmaker. But how much so far have you seen the jump that Pope's made from last year to this year?
It's been fun to watch. I mean, Mark is obviously a very talented kid. And I think, you know, what we're doing offensively right now is to get guys like him in position to make big plays. And, you know, I think his confidence level is at a you know, different place than what it was. And, you know, and this is going to sound overly simplistic, but it reminds me of when we got here in 2016 on defense, is let's let our fast people run fast. And Pope's got great speed, and that should be a threat to the defense. And so, again, now what we all have to temper is, and I'm talking about players first, and then on the, you know, not every play is designed to be a touchdown. You know what I mean? So make the play that's there. Let's not, these guys are so eager and they're so excited to go out and play well. We're playing against an outstanding defense in UAB. So let's just, you know, let's take what's there, make the plays that are there. There's going to be shots available. When the shot's there, let's take the shot and just, you know, understand it's going to be a 60-minute game.
Coach, defensively, through the years, when you talk about Kane's defense, we always talk about those great defensive tackles through the great years in the history of championships. How do you feel about Ford and Silvera? To start with, just your starting tackles?
I think they both have a chance to sort of continue our line of very disruptive defensive tackles. You know, Ford, I think, is, again, in his fourth year in the program, I think he's ready to sort of take that jump, and he has had a good camp, really good week this week. He's a load to block. UAB is a team that wants to run the football. Him and Silvera are going to be important guys, but I also like what we've done with our depth there. And again, it's going to be so important, our depth this year, because we'll be playing more plays on defense as well. So whether that's Jordan Miller, I would say Jared Harrison Hunt is really coming along and is especially had a good week this week. And even guys like Jalar Holly getting the game and some others. You know, I think our ability to just come at people in waves, that's what always when we've been at our best defensively, is really going to pay off.
Coach, I know one thing we have to ask you about. I don't know if I've ever done this before, but kicking. How nice has it been to have Jose Borgalis back there, and how good's he been in camp so far?
It's been great to have Jose. Underrated, by the way, not usually talked about, is just kickoffs. You know, his kickoffs have been excellent, which is really going to help us there. We didn't get really great ball placement or hang time a year ago for our coverage units, but certainly in the field goal aspect. I mean, our Wednesday practices, we always end with a one-minute drill. The one offense was going down the field. They needed a field goal to win. Derek ended up throwing a touchdown pass, which, hey, that's fun too. But we said, you know what, the last play of practice, we still set the ball down and said, okay, Jose, run out here and make the game-winning field goal. And, you know, he shot it right through the clown's mouth. So that just builds confidence for everybody on the entire team to know that if we get in those situations, which look here now, understanding we're starting with a really, really tough team in UAB, and then you got to go 10 straight in the ACC. And the one thing we know is that league is going to always produce close games, right? You've got a lot of evenly matched teams. You got a lot of well-coached teams. I think you got a lot of teams that are a lot better this year than they have been the last year or two. Kicking's going to be important. You know, points are going to be important. And to go down to the red zone and come up empty like we did last year, you know, one win here or two wins here could be the difference in being in Charlotte in December or not being in Charlotte. So I think everybody's really excited about what Jose adds to our team.
Well, Coach, it is game week. We really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. It's nice to say it's game week, too. I'm glad that you brought that up in the beginning, too. It's nice to say we actually have some football to watch this week. You can hear the game on WQAM this week as well. Best of luck. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks,
next
Coach.
Week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yay, football.
Got a great feeling about this Miami team and Manny Diaz getting that swagger back. It's going to be an odd season, but a good season. And you can hear kickoff. Pre-game starts at 4 o'clock this Thursday right here on 560 The Joe. Speaking of Miami, Zoo Miami's Ron McGill joins Dan Le Batard next on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan, and I'm full of pizza. Domino's, for the goodness of their gracious little hearts, dropped off a bunch of their taco pizzas and hamburger cheeseburger pizzas, and I've just been eating them all day. So I'll worry about my waistline later. Getting some good pizza in you is not as good as hearing from Zoo Miami's Ron McGill with the Dan Le Batard Show. It's always good to call into Ron McGill and ask the questions that no one else will answer. So here he goes, talking about animals and wildfire. Bird's the word. And do zoo animals actually respond to their names?
Chris, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Okay, Ron, the medal stand for house pets. Gold is the dog, silver is the cat. What is the bronze medal house pet?
I would say probably like a cockatiel. You know, some of the smaller citizens, lovebirds, cockatiels. I would go with something like that.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, you obviously have this man-made wildfire in California. You also have natural wildfires in places like in Africa and whatnot. What kind of adaptations do animals have in an event these things happen?
Is someone playing a flute at your house?
When did I get to Italy?
I mean, is it Italy or is it India?
Claire is playing with a toy right
okay,
now.
Okay, very good. Excellent, Ron.
Well, here's the bottom line. First of all, I mean, a lot of people look at fire as a disaster. In fact, it is a necessity for a lot of environments, and those environments benefit from fire. You know, here in South Florida, we have the pine rockland, which has to burn. And the reason that some of it gets damaged is because they try to control. They don't let it burn. We actually do control burns, and there are animals that have adapted to that in many ways. First of all, a lot of plants have, and that they build fire-resistant trunks so that they can take the fire in the lower part. Other animals know how to get underground and survive the fire that way, or simply just escape the fire. They have an incredible sense of smoke or fire coming to get out of the way. Now, sometimes you lose animals. That's just part of life there. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is fire is, generally speaking, very beneficial for the habitat that it usually strikes. It's a necessity to keep that habitat healthy.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Who's the bronze medal winner of pet in the animal kingdom? Is it fish or bird?
I mean, I'm telling you, if I go to someone's house and there's a bird flying around, I know they're in cages, but I have a friend who lets the bird out.
A bird flying around?
No, and it's flying around the house. It's like like, I'm never coming to your house again. I don't need that in my life.
I think you just realized while telling that story, I think you just realized that birds were caged.
Well, perhaps, but I'm telling you, this bird
I don't believe you have a friend who's just got a bird flying around the house. What are you talking about?
I mean, it's super rude. You walk into this guy's house and there's Mark Fidrich just flying around. It's great. What?
Taylor, you're on Larry. With Ron McDonald. Go ahead, Taylor.
Hey, Ron. Two quick questions for you. I'm waiting forever to ask you. One, what natural predator would be best to drop in the Everglades and clean up the invasive anaconda population? And number two, do animals at the zoo who have names respond to their names, like dogs respond to their names? Thanks, Ron.
Sure. First, it's pythons in the Everglades, not anacondas. But, you know, really the best natural predator we have for those are animals. Why are you laughing?
No, I'm just because one is a John Voight movie that makes me laugh, and the other one is pythons. That's why.
Okay. Yeah, it's pythons. And generally, you know, alligators are a good predator of pythons. Now, we always hear the story about, you know, the python that died because it ate an alligator exploded out of its belly. But generally speaking, I think alligators come out on top more often than pythons do. Also, as pythons hatch out, those hatchlings are going to get eaten by a ton of birds, a ton of things, even raccoons and things like that. And the eggs will get fed on by things like raccoons and other lizards and things like that. So we already have predators in there to try to control these guys. It's just they breed so quickly, they reproduce so quickly, they produce so many eggs, it's just hard. I don't know what's going to happen. I personally think there's going to be some kind of natural pathogen, a disease, a virus that comes in there that's going to be species-specific and starts controlling them that way. Or we're going to have, God willing, some kind of cold front in the future. I don't know if that happens with the kind of summer we've had, but those are the best controls for those guys. And the other thing, what was the other question?
Names. Animals responding to names.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We do absolutely have animals here that have names, and they absolutely respond to names. And generally speaking, you know, it's the more intelligent the animal, the more responsive it's going to be to a name. You know, I'm not going to call a python, and it's going to come slithering over to me. But having said that, you know, you might look at an animal like a tortoise and think, well, that's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. Well, there's a tortoise here, Goliath. He hears me call his name. He gets right up and starts walking right over to me. So animals do respond to names, and it is very common that you see it in zoos.
What is the dumbest animal that can be trained to respond?
I don't like that word. I don't like that word, Dan. What is the least intelligent? Let's say, what's the least intelligent?
I don't like it either.
What is the most idiotic animal that responds to being called by name?
You know, I would think that the tortoises are animals that are lower on the intelligence scale, and one would not assume that they would know their name and come walking to you. But our tortoises here do. We also have crocodiles that will respond to names or sounds, so to speak. It's kind of a recall that we have. And crocodiles, you know, you can have a 12-foot crocodile that has the brain the size of a walnut, and you would think, geez, how did that thing even know how to breathe? But the bottom line is they learn with association to survival, to food. As soon as they associate somebody with a name, with food, they'll respond to it. That's, you know, they're not looking at their name like, oh, my pal Ron is there, let me go play with him. That name being called is basically, hey, there's food. There's food coming, because every time that I go, I don't know what you guys are laughing. I'm just
no, it's funny. It's great. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you have any idea that a crocodile would answer to a name? It's a fairly amazing thing to learn. I was laughing because of the absurdity of you going out there and then Alex. Hey, Alex, get over here. And then the alligator, the crocodile comes over to you. And then I also like the further thing that you suggested, which is the listener might then see you frolicking with Alex the crocodile because you just called him over to play like you with a dog.
Well, Dan, you have been with me when I call the giraffe, for instance, and other people can say, hey, and they don't do anything. They hear me call them by their name, and they come walking to me. So you've seen that. I mean,
You're Tarzan, dude. You are a modern day Tarzan. I've seen the gorillas respond to you by name, the elephants.
But that's because they associate me with food, with a pleasant experience. You know, if the veterinarian called their name, they'd run the other way and get all upset, because they don't associate that with a pleasant experience, even though the veterinarian does much more good for them than I could ever do for them. It's just a matter of association. It's not like, you know, I say, hey, Dan, how you doing? Hey, Ron, how you doing? They don't do that. It's not necessarily like that, but there is an association with a pleasurable experience when they hear that name.
I've seen it as well, Ron. I mean, you absolutely talk to the animals, but this is a crocodile. I don't think he has time for names, you, anything. It's a menacing croc.
Foods, yeah. No, that's wonderful.
I'll tell you, they come. They come. They will come. You call their name, and they will come.
Alex, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Alex.
I had a question for you. If you had to make one illegal, either recreational fishing or commercial fishing, which one would you choose, and why?
What would I make illegal if I had to choose one? Wow, that's a hard one. You know, I don't think you can make commercial fishing illegal, because it's so important to sustenance for so many people around the world. But having said that, if you made it illegal, then maybe there'd be a lot more more recreational fishermen, and we would have a much better much better situation with that.
You're a real fence sitter. You're a real fence sitter, and yeah, and the bridge to your
that one is tough. That one is tough for me. That one is tough.
But this is your bridging. This is how you sit on the fence. It's your having said that. You hit us over the head with a having said that, and then you just sit.
Neither of you are the man.
you've got a good point there, Dan. Yeah, I think you're right. That's my sitting on the fence. When I say having said that, because the bottom line is I don't know which way to go on that. I would say, listen, you know, I love fishing. I love recreational fishing. If you outlawed commercial fishing, then many people say, you know what, I got to go catch my fish now because it's not just going to arrive in the market the way I want. But then people have jobs. They might not have the ability to catch their fish, and they might be, you know, deprived of an essential protein in their diet. You know, I'd rather them eat fish than eat beef. So the question is, no, I could. Okay, I would outlaw recreational fishing. Oh, that's going to get me in a lot of trouble.
Yes, get out of here. Geez. That's good talking to you. Thank you, Ron McGill. We were not going to stop until we could get you in a lot of trouble. I don't know who the hell you'd be getting in trouble with. Get out of here.
Well, are you kidding me? Recreational fishing is so important.
I know. All right, we covered that. Having said that,
you'll be fine.
Get out of here.
Call me next week with something a little bit more, you know.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. See you later, Ron McGill.
We love you.
Let me go back there for a second because you may have heard in the middle of that the manly man off in which out of nowhere, both Ron McGill, it was well timed. Ron McGill and I, you just stopped our stupid conversation when it should have stopped a minute earlier by accidentally hitting with your elbow the manly man off.
Neither of you are the man.
I don't remember. When was the last?
At least 6 years.
Okay.
Don't demasculize Ron McGill. He has a mustache. Interesting. Animals, they know their names. So I'm guessing all the cats I've ever had in my life, they just ignore me when I speak to them. Not ignoring Hawk and Crowder, although Crowder is getting a vasectomy today. So Hawk and Dino next, talking about game five on the Best of the Joe Show. The Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and today can be summed up with one number, the number of the day, 5. You're probably saying, what in the world are you talking about, Dan Day? You've lost it a long time ago, but you've even lost it more so than ever. Well, Hawk and Dino, you'll know immediately what game 5 is all about.
Five game, gentlemen, sweep
for the Miami Heat.
Five game, gentlemen, sweep
for the Miami Heat.
I mean, brilliant to start. Brilliance to start the show. Wow. All my prep goes right out the window. We'll be playing that for the next 4 hours. Oh my goodness. Crowder is off today. Long planned vasectomy. Well, not long enough. He just had maybe three. Crowder's off today. He's getting the vasectomy. Told us he'll tell us all about it tomorrow. Dono is here. Hello, Dono.
I didn't think anything could get worse than elegance, but
that
Solana somehow topped himself.
That was tremendous, man. Game five tonight, the gentleman's sweep. We talked about it yesterday. We have tweeted and Instagrammed out me, Crowder, and Solana in our Heat jerseys and top hats and monocles. But Solana has outdone himself. Go ahead. I had no idea this was coming. I didn't know he was in the lab. This had to be a good 13, 14 hours putting this together. Here it is, the five-game gentleman sweep song.
Five game. Five-game gentleman sweep
for the Miami Heat.
Five-game gentleman sweep
for the Miami Heat.
J-Pick at the end.
Is that who that was? It was like someone was trying to... Someone, was that you, Fig? Yeah, someone
Biggie.
Was... It's Figgy. She got called into duty, didn't want to do it. It was like someone was trying to harmonize on that. I don't know what was happening there, but that was pure brilliance, Solana. Congratulations. I don't think we're going to be able to top that all show. We shall try. It is. Banger. That is immediately an all-time banger. I am delighted. It is a Miami Heat game night. Now, I'm expecting Miami to come out and lay the hammer down. I really am. I think they're going to be looking at this game as a must win, even though it's not. And I think you're going to see really aggressive, dominating basketball from Miami. My guess is Giannis doesn't play. I just don't see how he'll be able to. What are you expecting tonight, Dono?
Well, I mean, first, I agree with you that I can't see Giannis playing. I mean, the guy was hobbling around in a boot yesterday. Like, I understand that it's the playoffs facing elimination, but it would just seem dumb in the condition he's in to play after already re-injuring the injury that he had. No, I mean, I'm with you. I'm nervous, of course, because as a Heat fan, you know, all of a sudden, if you turn a potential gentleman sweep into a six-gamer, then I start to get a little bit freaked out. But I am expecting the Heat to close it out here tonight. But I'm going to be on the edge of my seat the entire game.
Solana and I are texting with each other. You sound low, and there's a buzz, there's a hum in your in the connection.
Way to come prepared, Dono.
Now it's even worse. It's more pronounced.
Really? I just turned my volume up. That's
yeah, but the hum is really bad now.
It's weird because there's nothing. I don't know why anything would be humming in here.
Is there? No, but it sounds like there's a hum in a wire. It doesn't sound like a hum from ambient noise. It's are you using a different microphone or anything that you normally do?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's the that's the problem. Yeah, we got to get you back to your old setup. What happened? Why'd you try to upgrade?
Well, yeah, it is actually a better mic. I left Palmetto Bay to go back home to unincorporated Miami-Dade, to my home. I usually do the show from my parents' home. I actually have a nicer setup here, but I left the USB mic that I use at my parents' house. I left it at my parents' house.
Oh man, yeah, this is a bad microphone. Do we have any troubleshooting, Solana? Any troubleshooting possibilities? Play the five-game sweep song.
Five.
Yeah, there it is.
Five game gentlemen sweep
for the Miami Heat.
I'm gonna listen for Fig this time.
Five game gentlemen sweep
for the Miami Heat.
Oh, there she is. I missed that before. My goodness. She emoted on that one. Anyway, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting some aggressive Miami Heat basketball tonight. I think they're going to come away with the victory. My guess. There he is.
Game 4, Heat Bucks, 6:30 p.m.
Game 5.
Start by me there. Giannis is questionable. Jay Crowder, Tyler Hero, Kelly
Olynyk.
You just
did a whole song about Game 5.
Listen, you can't make them all. You know, I was shooting. I swished a couple in the beginning of the show, and
that was a little layup.
I got the pass right back to me. I missed the free throw. What are you gonna do?
All
sometimes
right.
that happens. Right.
I don't think that was a free throw though.
It was a layup. Was it a layup?
Yeah, that was an uncontested layup.
Jay Crowder, Tyler Hero, Kelly O. They're all questionable for today as well. I imagine as we get closer to game time, we'll find out more, especially about Giannis. I know everybody wants to know. Is Antetokounmpo going to play? The Heat are favored by 4 as it stands right now, guys.
All right. Anything else? So that went up because yesterday was 3.5.
Right.
So
right.
A lot of people expecting, I guess, what I'm expecting, the Heat to put the hammer down.
Tonight, following...
I hope Giannis does play. I mean, they look pretty poor without him.
Yeah, I was saying yesterday, I mean, I'm bummed, even as a Heat fan, that he got injured in Game 4 because I like watching the great guys out there play basketball, and certainly the Heat were not having any... I mean, he was possessed Game 4. Like, he looked like he was going to will that team to victory. It ended up being Chris Middleton that willed him to victory, but I like seeing Giannis out there. I just don't see how he's going to be able to play. He's hurt the same ankle twice. You know, when you roll an ankle like that, it's super tender to walk on. Then you roll it a second time because you're probably, you know, overcompensating the other way. And I just don't see, if you're looking at the long term, what the point is. Solana and I were talking about it yesterday. It's like, if they were down 3-2 or if the series was 3-3, it's one thing. But to be down 3-1, I don't see what the rush is.
Following the Heat game, it's Lakers-Rockets game 3. That series is even at 1-1. That's at 9 p.m. The Lakers 5-point favorites. Last night in the NBA, game 5, the Celtics took a 3-2 lead over the Raptors with 111-98 victory over Toronto. And in Game 3 of Clippers Nuggets, 113-107 Clippers, they win and take a series lead of 2-1.
With a Kawhi one-finger block.
That was awesome. The Marlins, something else that was awesome. Extras. Thanks to Miggy Rowe, a go-ahead double in the 10th. They beat the Bravos yesterday 5-4. Important victory for the Marlins. They're back to 500. And this series continues tonight, 7:10 p.m. Sixto Sanchez, the Marlins' young phenom. He's on the nod. He gets the nod from the fish. He's on the mound.
Let's go, Sixto.
Manny Diaz confirmed yesterday, guys. There will be a turnover chain this season. They haven't they haven't displayed it yet. Nobody's seen it. And he did say there will be a couple changes as they've done the last couple years.
Somebody, speaking of the Miami Hurricanes, someone texts in, forget Chris Perkins, get Kendrick Perkins on. Kendrick Perkins coming on tomorrow. He will be with us tomorrow. He wouldn't miss it.
He's really become our dude, Hawk.
He is, man. He is our dude.
And quickly, some NFL news, guys. Alvin Kamara on the Saints, they're close to a lucrative contract extension. That's great for my fantasy football team. And Cardinals and wide receiver.
Didn't I see that it was done?
If it happened in the past 30 minutes, perhaps, that I didn't catch it. But DeAndre Hopkins.
I minutes behind this.
Yeah, I honestly thought I had seen that it was done. Maybe not.
Maybe you're confusing it with the DeAndre Hopkins news. Because
no, that I saw, but I thought I saw that the Kamara one was done too. But no, go ahead.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins and the Cardinals, a 2-year contract extension. This dude got paid $54 million over 2 seasons. It includes $42.5 million guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, Schefter. Saints and Alvin Kamara extremely close.
That's what I was reporting.
Lots going on in the Miami sports world, and I'm telling you, that game, 5-5-5 song that Solana, J Fig, and myself sang, that is an all-time banger. If you want it, go download it wherever you get your podcasts, including this show's podcast. Also, you can go to the radio.com app, or you can go simply to our website, WQAM.com. If you have any questions for me, it's real simple, nice and slow. I'll answer for you so you don't get confused, because the world can be a confusing place, especially in these times. On Twitter or all the social media, at Dan Day Radio. I will be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, not 5, but 6 o'clock to bring you another edition of the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug. 5.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.